Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
I'm back.
Oh, yeah, we're all back. I'm Morgan Nickel, big mouth dickhead from the internet.
And I'm Dylan Reeve, also of the internet.
Not Hollywood. You've been to Hollywood?
Not so much.
That's probably your next step, though, isn't it? Something like that. Would you go to the States to work?
Yes. The short answer is yes.
Lots of good TVs made in the States.
A stonkingly astonishing amount of good TVs made in the States. Also, though, a very large amount of rubbish TV.
Yes, also made. Pornography.
And pornography. And corporate videos and straight-to-DVD movies. And there's a lot of stuff is made in the States. We should probably... It's volume. It's just so much of it.
Yeah. So you're saying it's the girth that's important.
It is. It's the width. It's just wide.
Tell you what. It's a relief. It's a golden age of television.
Yeah. Fair call. Maybe. Probably. Yep.
Some people think not, but I say absolutely. I mean, once Breaking Bad. Sorry, let me just explain why my tongue is not functioning. Tonight's drink is Baileys and milk, and apparently it doesn't make my mouth fluid operate smoothly.
I'm drinking Coke Zero with nothing.
I'm also drinking over in the Stein. This is sugar-free LMP with Spates Old Dark.
So you're doubling your drinks.
I'm two-fisting it. I'm playing Wizard Hands, except they're not actually taped to my hands, because why would you do that?
It would make running the podcast very difficult.
It's not like I ever do anything with the sound desk, but I mean, let's just say if I had Wizard Hands, no one would keep listening, because this is impossible. Anyway, but yeah.
I'm pleased you turned it off.
I'm also pleased I turned it off. I had no idea what effect it was going to be when I turned it on. I suppose it could have been worse. Well, could it have been worse? Maybe. What's this? Yeah. I don't know what all the numbers are. The numbers mystify me, frankly. All I can see on the mixer, now I'm told it's 66. Let's find out what 66 is. Well, that's not too bad, actually, is it?
It's pretty cool. It's like a flanging effect. It's interesting.
Let's see. All right. I've gone up 11, apparently. 77.
What's 77?
Oh, hey, no. 77 is one that I've used before. Better not do that. I'll start playing corned beef. Ooh, and I'm not sure where Dr. John Brash is tonight. He might have to call in on his phone or something, and I don't even know how to 8 kilohertz this. That would probably make it almost sound authentic. So what have you been up to?
Just, you know, working and stuff. Just chilling.
Yeah, me too, pretty much.
Just my regular life.
I had a terrible meeting today. Awkward and weird.
One of my staff resigned today, so I have to replace them.
Whoa now.
Yeah,
but
well.
Aren't you kind of? Oh, did they head off overseas?
No, she's just taken another job elsewhere in town.
But aren't you kind of the? All right, I mean, I guess some people are free to make really bad decisions, right?
Totally. No, it's not a bad decision for what she's doing. It'll probably work out well for her, hopefully. But it's just it's never good timing, is it?
No, I suppose it's not. Lots of notice or.
No, well, a reasonable amount of notice, but not enough, considering I have to train, well, enough, but, got to train a whole new person to do her job,
wow.
Which is tricky because she's really the only one who knows how to do her job.
Right, bloody hell.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to meet plenty of people this weekend who might want a job in your industry.
I'm going to have employed someone before then, but we'll try.
Holy frig, that soon?
I want someone to start on Monday.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is it a contract position?
What's that?
Is it a contract position?
No, it's staff full-time.
Wow. That really isn't messing around.
No. I've got like 2 weeks to train them then.
Far out. Wow. Well, I think that you're making a mistake if your contract says people only have to give, 3 weeks' notice.
Yeah, we might perhaps look at that. We'll see.
Maybe try 6 weeks.
6 weeks is a long time. One extra week would make it a bit easier.
And some people, you'll just say, here is your payout, fucking get out right now, and we will send the shit in your desk to you, because, of course, some people you want gone right away. And other people, you'll be like, phew, at least we don't have to replace that person in two weeks.
Very, very seldom, and given the nature of the work we do, we rely on continuity of employees.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, changes are always difficult, but we have to take them in stride and continue making awesomeness for everyone to enjoy.
Yeah. Well, that's how I feel about discourse.
Yes, that's what I was talking about discourse. That last part was talking about discourse.
So I've heard that we've got a new fan.
Yes, my wife listened to the show last week and she said it was the best podcast she's ever listened to.
Just leave it at that.
I think we'll leave it at that.
I'm really excited that it's the best podcast she's ever listened to. I'm going to assume, for the purpose of the story,
number one podcast in her rating of podcasts.
I'm going to assume that she listens to a lot of podcasts.
I don't know if I specifically queried that, but I think we could probably assume that.
Sometimes it's better not to ask the question.
I think so.
And sometimes if they're going to answer the question you didn't ask, it's better to shut them up.
That's right.
Yeah. So this weekend is 48 Hours, which is a short film competition that we've spoken about before on the show a couple of times. And we've
We were even organised enough to speak to organiser Ant Timpson on the phone about the 48 Hours. But
you say we, but it was actually you that was organised enough to do that.
Yeah, well, I think I just clicked on his name in my Skype list and up he came. Yeah. He is, let's just have a quick look. Yeah, scroll down, Ant Timpson. He's not online, so we can't talk to him now.
I bet he's just blocked you. I bet he really is online. He's just blocked you.
Actually, he says he's away. He is online. He's just away.
Oh. Probably having his lunch.
And his mode says rage, so I'll just leave him alone, I think.
But when does anyone ever change that? Who uses Skype enough to actually keep their mood?
You know, there are a couple of people I know who do, but yeah, that's pretty rare, isn't it?
So there was someone on my Skype because, of course, for the show in the past, recent listeners might not know this, but once upon a time we used to have a lot of guests on. I mean, sometimes 3, 4, or 5 guests in a single show. And now, I mean, I really prefer how easy it is these days.
Well, once upon a time, we also used to, you know, create lists of stories, share a document between each other about what we were going to talk about. Yeah. But that all just became quite difficult.
Yeah. I mean, the document's still there.
Now we just treat this like a one-hour phone conversation that you and I are having and some people are listening into.
You know what? I actually find it much more enjoyable.
How would you know? When was the last time you talked to me on the phone for an hour?
No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is I enjoy doing it this way more than the kind of slightly more anxiety-inducing version where I have to actually organize people and think up clever questions, because recent listeners won't know this either, but I reckon that some of my questions are pretty good.
There were a number of questions that you've asked in the past that were good. Yep, absolutely.
I will
attest to that, a number.
So last year, before 48 Hours, we spoke to Ant Timpson. We even gave a free entry away.
We did.
Which was nice of us.
Yes. Someone entered and they didn't win. That's all I know.
Well, the judges
didn't win the whole 48 Hours competition, I mean.
So based on what the organisers have released, which is scant information, frankly, it sounds like there may be more entries this year than ever before.
That seems to be what they're suggesting.
Which I think must mean over 700 teams. Was 700 the peak previously?
Maybe. Let's rewind. 48 Hours is an international phenomenon. This particular competition is New Zealand only. But the competition has spawned from a larger, perhaps overseas event called the 48 Hour Film Project. Which runs in cities all around the world, and none of those cities anywhere in the world come even remotely close to getting the types of entries that we get. We probably have more entries in Auckland than, like, maybe the whole of Europe.
Right.
Like, in terms of this contest, it's insane how much this country embraces this contest.
Can you imagine how depressing and hand-job-filled French 48-hour films would be?
I can't, but I bet you can find them on the internet.
Have you seen Elephant?
Who made that?
Good question.
Yes, I have. It's the Columbine. It's basically a Columbine film.
That's definitely not the one I meant. Damn it! So what is this then? This was Depardieu.
Gus Van Sant is the one I was
thinking of. This was Gerard Depardieu, and it was only a couple of years ago. Let's see, what have we got here? Not Asterix, Mammoth, sorry, it was called Mammoth, not Elephant.
Right, you were close.
I was close. Man, it is a weird movie, and, I mean, no spoilers, but he and his old, very old boyhood pal So for the entire rest of the movie, he's straight and like in a relationship with a woman, and previously, I think, or even possibly currently married to a woman and has a child with a woman, and then just suddenly he and his childhood friend are giving each other hand jobs, and it's just the weirdest scene.
Actually, this middle-aged
man with, and he's getting like cramp in his hands, and he's wearing
two questions. Yeah. Firstly, mm-hmm. why are we talking about this?
I don't remember. Oh, secondly, European 48-hour film competition.
Okay, and secondly, no, that's good. Actually, it doesn't matter. When was this film?
This was 2010.
Okay. No, I don't think I've seen it, but it does sound familiar. Maybe you've told me about it before.
It would not comply with the 48-hour film competition rules, at least as we have them in New Zealand, because number one, it's 92 minutes long, and number two, it took longer than a weekend to produce.
Well, then.
And they definitely didn't have the required elements.
You don't know that.
I don't know that, but I'm pretty sure.
For what it's worth, the 48-hour film project, which could be considered this parent of 48 hours, in 2013 will be in 120 cities and will include perhaps 60,000 people in the making. So that's quite a lot, but that's not that many, really, compared to... They've had 25,000 teams over the 13 years they've been doing it. So I don't know, 25... And
But that'll include a lot of returning teams, won't it?
Yeah, I guess. Who knows? I think we're bigger. I think the New Zealand competition is possibly bigger than the whole rest of the 48-hour film project combined.
Right.
Anyway, it's huge. It's crazy big. We love this competition. And you and I are doing it because we're stupid.
I feel particularly stupid about doing it again.
We're doing it because we're stupid, but also because we enjoy it. I don't know about you. I feel that I do it because I enjoy having producted a short film.
Yeah.
And I know that if I just sat down and went, I want to make a short film, I would never get the fucking thing made.
Yeah. I wish you'd let me direct because I wouldn't have had to go to the trouble of making my own team.
Sorry. Next time. No, not next time.
Never. Never. So also stupid, I mean, we are stupid, but also stupid, there's a course that I wanted to go and do called The Beginner's Guide to Screenwriting.
Yeah.
It's on May the 25th and 26th.
Well, that's not going to work out for you.
She's not going to have any students. That's the worst weekend of the year that any kind of filmmaking course could be put on.
That is poor planning.
That is very bad planning.
We've been asked how anyone could be making a film this weekend when Arrested Development comes back. And it does. True, Arrested Development is back on Netflix on Friday.
I'll tell you how easily Arrested Development is overrated.
Well, and also, and it's released all at once, and you can binge on the whole thing on Sunday.
Sunday night, yep.
Sunday night. Get home, watch the entire series, go to bed, sleep for 2 days.
After successfully getting a short film in.
After having made a short film, that's right.
With... let's see, what's it likely to be? It's probably going to be like a piece of an apple. They'll probably say an apple, something like that. Right? Because then it could be a laptop, or it could be a phone, or it could be a piece of fruit.
Shall we take a step further back again? The 48-hour concept, if you haven't heard of it, works like this. You have between...
So on Friday...
48 hours between 7 p.m. Friday and 7 p.m. Sunday to create a short film somewhere between 1 and 7 minutes in length, I think.
Yep.
On the Friday night at... Before 7 p.m, you all show up at a location. In Auckland, it's somewhere in AUT, and there's other places around the country.
You get locked in.
You are given. Every team gets given a genre, and there's one of about, say, 12 or 13 genres usually that are spread out amongst the teams.
Yep.
So you get a genre. It could be musical. It could be action-adventure. It could be dance film. It could be
It could be
horror.
Something less recognizable as a genre as well. For instance, last year I got Urban Legend. Film. Urban legend. Not really a genre, but okay.
Yeah, so you get a genre or a style of film or a film trope.
Yeah.
You also get a line of dialogue, which is so the next three things are common to all the films in the competition that year. So you get a line of dialogue, which is usually something sort of nondescript, like please don't do fit. That. What was that?
It doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit. Please don't do that. Things that can be used in many different ways. You get a character name and sort of trait.
And the name is always multi-gendered.
It is always, what is it? What's that word?
Kim.
15 minutes.
Yep. Unisexual?
So unisexual, that's right, sure. You get that and you get a prop, which will be something
a
like...
A rock or a torch prop, or a banana mirror, or a piece of wire or... Yep. What was it last year?
And then you have 48 hours to go forth.
What was it last year?
I don't remember. I could find out, but I just can't be bothered typing things on my computer at the moment. You get 48 hours to go forth and make a film, which involves writing it.
Shooting. Oh, and we seem to be getting a technical element.
Oh, yeah. The last few years we've had a technical element, which will be usually some sort of... So 1 year it was the...
Contrazoom.
The trombone shot, which is hard to describe.
But and very difficult to achieve with a DSLR. So those
very difficult to do if you don't have a camera with a controlled zoom lens.
Yeah.
But it's where you essentially move the camera forward and zoom out at the same time. It makes the whole background compress up or around.
So the idea is that your subject stays the same size, but the background shifts dramatically.
Yeah, it's a shot you'd recognize if you saw it.
It's an old Doctor Who trick as well from way back.
We had slow motion 1 year.
Freeze frame.
Freeze frame ending.
Yeah.
Was it freeze frame ending or was it just freeze frame?
I think it was freeze frame ending. It must have been freeze frame ending.
Yeah. So anyway, all those things. And you have 48 hours to go forth and write a film and shoot a film and edit a film and deliver a film. And when they say 48 hours, they're very specific about that. If you get it in at 2 seconds past seven, you are too late.
Yep.
So it's awesome if you are moderately interested in filmmaking activities.
If you're interested in filmmaking activities, you have to do it.
If you are listening to this, it is too late to enter.
No, you're listening to this, that's true.
Right now it's not, that's but if you're listening to this as the podcast that we release on the regular day where we release the podcast, which is a Thursday, then it's too late to enter. But what you could do is you could go to 48hours.co.nz and you could go to the forums, and there's a forum in there for cast and crew wanted and available. And you could say, hey, I'm a person in Dannyverk. I don't know if we have any listeners in Dannyverk. I'm really keen to join a team. Anyone needs some help? I have a microphone and this spare light I bought at Bunnings once.
Yep.
And hopefully, if you're lucky, someone will say, hey, yeah, come and join us.
I have really cool trousers.
Yeah.
Might be enough.
I have a time machine. That would be good.
That would be really useful. That would probably be cheating, though, because then, you know, you could take as long as you like to make your film.
I don't think I wasn't specifying. It would be a working time machine, perhaps. Just maybe someone's built a really accurate replica of a time machine.
So it looks just like the real thing.
Looks just like the real thing, but doesn't actually work. Because where would you get enough power to actually run a real time machine?
You could collapse a star.
True, true. So there you go. If you want to do it entered a team, go to 48hours.co.nz and go in the forums and beg and plead with someone. In fact, if you are listening to that, if you do it on like Friday night after about 7 p.m, which is when all the teams get back to their little bases and they freak out because they realize they need a something or they don't have a something or they haven't got any actors, that's a great time to get involved.
Yeah. And the 48 hours forums, they're a really good place to go if you are a team and you happen to be listening to this, trying to relax perhaps on Thursday or Friday before you make your terrible short film that I will literally be repulsed by, because honestly I can't stand most of them and I have to sit through a lot of them. and I hate it. I really hate it.
It's important to know that Morgan really hates any artistic activity and endeavor that doesn't involve him.
Yeah, pretty much.
Every time he goes to the art gallery, he just swears at all the paintings that don't have him in them.
It makes for a really hard time, actually, at the gallery. It makes me very angry. I could have painted that if I had skill.
Yeah. This painting of Iris's is bullshit. Where am I?
This is bullshit. That doesn't look accurate at all. I've seen Iris's before. So at the moment, the cast and crew's chat room topic thing, forum on the site is full of people who are wanted. Actors in Christchurch, for instance. Jimmy P needs actors in Christchurch. And Benoit in don't even know where. Don't know. 021. Still doesn't tell me. Auckland. Yeah. Benoit in Auckland needs a soundie and has all the equipment.
Yep, and in Christchurch, there's another guy needs an actor and a photographer /DOP/whatever.
Yep.
So get involved. Yeah. Yes.
Get involved, go and do it. Anyone can act, honestly. Yep. Honestly, anyone can act, you know.
Maybe, and if you do, that means by the end of the weekend, when you go to work on Monday, you can say, hey, I made a short film on the weekend. And someone will say, what do you mean you made a short film? And you say, oh, you know, just chilled out with some mates and made a whole film.
And if you want to see it, you can come to the theatre on whatever day.
And they'll go, can you show me now? And you go, no, I fucking can't. Come to the theatre and watch it, you bastards.
There are a lot of rules in 48 hours, and one of them is that you can't show your film outside the competition until the competition's over.
There you go. So we'll talk about something else, anything else, whatever, that's not 48-hour filmmaking.
We can talk about Angelina Jolie's breasts.
No.
Well, that's actually my point as well. It's none of our fucking business. And people criticising her. What? Yeah, go on.
It was bizarre how many people are like, oh, she shouldn't have cut the boobs off. I was like, I don't think she... Well, maybe she did. I don't know. I don't think she wanted to. It wasn't like she just went, oh, this will be fun.
Of course she didn't want to. She did it because she didn't want to die in the same way that she watched her mother die. And people saying, you shouldn't have done that, or that's fine for you, you've got plenty of money and that sounds expensive. Well, you're looking at it all wrong. Number one, it's none of your business what she does with her breasts. It's none of your business at all. And number two, she did what she thought was necessary for herself.
And it's a thing that other people do, people who aren't famous actresses.
I've heard about this before. And I've heard about this for New Zealand women as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's ridiculous bullshit.
If you do have this kind of family history, and this kind of family history that we're talking about is not like my great aunt had breast cancer. The family history of women who do this are like two of their sisters have died or have been diagnosed already. Their mother and auntie and grandmother all died of breast cancer. That's the sort of family history that we're talking about, right? This is not, I'm pretty sure one of my female relatives died of breast cancer. That's not this. This is people who seriously believe, and actually probably are right to believe, there's a very good chance that they're going to die of breast cancer. Cancer is no fun for anyone.
It's a big choice to make, but, you know, it's not our choice. We don't have ownership over celebrities.
And she spoke out about it. I mean, no one would have even necessarily have ever found out about it if she hadn't spoken out. And she spoke out because she doesn't want other people who might be in the same position to not realise that they have an option. And that's really the beginning and end of it, as far as I'm concerned. And anyone criticising her is just out of their fucking mind.
Good.
Really big news, actually,
next
this week.
Story.
This will make your jaw drop right to the floor. This is from stuff.co.nz, which apparently is some kind of website. Stuff.
So my jaw will hit the desk if it drops.
It will hit the desk. Apparently, Michael Jackson was a paedophile. Yeah, I heard that. Are you still able to speak? Did it crack? According to Wade Robson, a 32-year-old choreographer, which doesn't really sound like a real job, does it? He's requesting money from the Michael Jackson estate because he says when he was a child, he was sexually abused by Michael Jackson for 7 years.
I don't understand how he... Okay, fine. How does he get to claim money from the Michael Jackson estate for that?
Because he was... I don't know. Maybe to essentially settle out of court an impending civil case against...
Against who?
Well, that's a very good question.
His estate has no liability for his actions, legal or otherwise. Fuck him. He's just being a... Yeah, anyway. Maybe he... Maybe, likely, possibly, Michael Jackson was a pedophile or something similar, but he's dead.
So I have visited the Stuff website in the past,
and
I was repelled by their opinion poll last time I visited and the time before. Is Mila Kunis the sexiest woman alive?
Is she?
Well, my point really is that I've seen this same friggin' question for weeks on that goddamn website. Is it never going to go away?
Stuff is a bit shit. It always has been a bit shit. That's about it. Do you remember they used to have an advertising campaign that was consequences?
Yes.
Stuff breaks stories first or there'll be consequences. And they had these big, you know, elaborate things where one of their... sub-editors would be chained to a billboard and have something thrown at him because that was the consequences.
You know what breaks stories first?
You know why they stopped that campaign?
Did they keep getting beaten to the punch?
They were never the first. Well, they were very occasionally the first, but they got beaten to all sorts of things.
I'll tell you what the first source is generally, Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, of course, most people don't follow everyone, so you have to hear eventually about, you know, about whatever story from maybe a journalist retweeting someone.
God forbid.
That's what I see actually quite often. Yeah. We've got 48 hours, man. It's making me really anxious.
All right, well, I'll read another story.
All right, distract me.
Yeah, okay. I'll just read the headline. Republican Texas judge orders lesbian couple to live apart or lose children. Want to know more?
Wait, so a judge has ordered a couple to live apart?
Yep, or lose custody of
children. Or lose their children. So...
So what it is,
that doesn't
a woman, mm-hmm. In this case, her name is Carolyn Compton.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Oh, Judge
John they're Roach, lesbians.
Yep. Judge John Roach of McKinney, Texas, has given Paige Price 30 days to move out of the home she shares with Carolyn Compton and Compton's two children from a previous marriage because he does not approve of Compton and Price's, quote, lifestyle. I say quote because that's actually the word he used in his judgment.
Too bad, Judge. Mind your own fucking business, because that is not your business.
Unfortunately, that's not the case. Roach has placed a morality clause in Compton's divorce papers, which forbid Compton from having anyone she is not related to by blood or marriage, that's also in quotes, in her home past 9 p.m. if the children are present. So not only can she not have her life partner, who she cannot, well, her, you know, her partner, who she cannot marry in her home, she can't have her in the home. She also couldn't have, you know, a boyfriend.
She can marry her.
She
can marry her. She can go to another state and marry her. Or she can come to New Zealand and marry her. Most countries
she probably
have...
can't come to New Zealand because she's probably not allowed to leave the state.
Oh, that might be true. Well, what she needs to do then is live in her partner's house, not in her own house.
I'm sure that that would be somehow deprived. Anyway,
I'll tell you what, there's another option. Stop living in fucking Texas.
Yeah, well, yes, indeed. Texas, eh? Ha-ha. So there you go. Remember, the Republicans are the party of small government and personal responsibility.
It's a Democrat in the White House.
Yeah, no, but this is a Republican judge.
Right. A judge who has a stated political affiliation.
A judge is a political position in the States.
That's your first mistake.
That's not necessarily the first mistake.
That's not your first mistake, but that's among your many mistakes.
You know the people who run elections in counties that are also a political position?
That sounds like another mistake.
Yeah, there's a lot of mistakes. They're very strange in the US with their democracy and so forth. Anyhow...
The Electoral College, man, what is that about?
Yeah,
so... What it's about is protecting small states from big states, but that's not important.
They've lived together for 3 years.
Flash in the pan. There's gay people. They're all just dirty sluts. They're no better than animals. Sex with, you know, willy nilly with any passing person of the same gender. 3 years, unlike most marriages, obviously, which last much longer than that. So that's like a one night stand, really, compared to a good honest Christian marriage.
And as another good reason, there's been a bunch of these stories. Another good reason why marriage equality is an important thing. And at a federal level in the States.
These stories really break my heart.
Yeah, it's funny, because you see all these arguments about it, and they're all very non-personal. They're all this and that, and, oh, marriage is this. And then you see these stories, and you know, this is a personal thing, and how, like, what sort of asshole is...
This judge.
How do you read the story and not go, oh, no, that's shit?
Yeah.
Yep, okay.
That'll serve those dykes, right? They should stop eating all that, munching all those rugs.
Anyway, so there you go. That's a shitty story.
I should not have focused so much on the judge. My focus should be on the women who.
Well, it's interesting because it highlights an interesting issue, which is this concept of morality clauses in divorce agreements, which are used frequently in the States.
How is that constitutional? Can that be constitutional?
Who the hell knows? To impose limits on. Limits on personal activity that surely should be unconstitutional or just wrong, full stop. But they're common in lots of states, and often include things like limitations on cohabitation, and even one included banning someone from smoking or drinking if their children were in the house.
Yeah.
So, you know, all those sorts of things. It's some sort of child welfare thing, but they get abused.
Is this why Alexis Normand, who was the... they call it the Star Mangled Banner. She sang the American National Anthem at an ice hockey game a couple of days ago. Now, maybe the reason that she had so much trouble singing that song is that where it came to the words land of the free, her rational non-American brain just rebelled against her mouth. Maybe that's what happened. Probably. Maybe that's what it was. Land of the free, eh? I don't think so. So, in more important news.
Yes.
Actually, I can probably have a better segue. Let me do... So, Keira Wilmot, a couple of weeks ago, there's a story that I don't think that I spoke about. She had done a science experiment at her school. Now, unfortunately, it involved creating a small... a chemical reaction, let's say an energetic chemical reaction. And the school expelled her and pressed charges. And the police, I guess, said, yeah, why not? And so the Florida state attorneys also decided that that she should be charged. And they charged her with a felony for making what amounted to, let's be honest, a small bomb. But they have dropped the charges. And in the meantime, the internet, which as we now know is full of good guys, the internet... who is this one guy, Homer Hickam, who is a former NASA engineer, started a crowdfunding campaign, which has made now enough money to send both this girl, Keira, to space camp, and her sister, also to space camp, and a bunch of extra money for, you know, travel expenses and so on. And they made even more money than was required for that, and so they've just given that to these girls' mum.
Space camp.
Space camp, bro. Space camp. So if everything goes like that documentary from the 1980s, the name of which escapes me at the moment, she might space end up camp. In space.
Oh.
In a space shuttle.
That could totally happen. Hey, crowdfunding reminded me of something I wanted to rage endlessly about.
Yeah.
Did you remember Zach Braff? You know,
yeah, I remember Zach Braff. He was in that TV show that I wasn't very, very excited about most of the time. Yep.
He's doing a Kickstarter film.
But he's worth $22 million, Dylan.
Is he?
Yeah.
Good on him. He was raising funds.
Why does he need to kickstart anything when he is such a wealthy man?
Why indeed? Well, there's a video where he talks about it extensively, which is very interesting. And a large part of it was... in terms, it's building a following for the film before it's even come out, and gives them an opportunity to.
So it's marketing.
Well, part of it, but it also gives them an opportunity to engage with fans and things before, you know, as he's producing and during production, as he's producing. It's quite interesting. He's going to do a lot of behind the scenes video blogs and things for his supporters, which is quite cool.
It's quite funny because people were accusing, I've heard about this story before. People were accusing Zach Braff of ruining crowdfunding and destroying Kickstarter. And then one of the people behind Kickstarter came out and said, listen, he brought in all these completely new people who had never Kickstarted anything. And since trying to, you know, kickstarting his project, those new people who had never visited before have gone on to kickstart other projects to the tune of, at the time, it was something like $400,000 or $600,000. So it's like he's ruined nothing. He's helping you.
So
fucking
last week,
dicks.
He was trying to raise $2 million as partial funding for his film Wish I Was Here.
Yeah.
Last week there was a story came out in the Hollywood Reporter that said, a distribution company or an indie film production company called Worldview Entertainment, I think. This is from memory because I haven't found a good story in front of me. That Worldview Entertainment had agreed to fund the film.
Yeah.
And a bunch of websites, a lot of indie movie websites that were already a bit antsy about the Kickstarter project.
Yeah.
Took this opportunity to say, oh, it was all a scam. He's sold out. And it turns out that they are dicks.
Yeah.
Essentially, the gist is this. He wants to make a film for about $6 million. So between $6 and $10 million. So $2.5 million from Kickstarter, approximately. About $2 million of his own funds. And then the remainder of the funding made up from pre-sales of international rights.
Yeah.
Worldview has signed on as a to provide gap funding, essentially.
Right.
Where they will...
It's bridge finance, then.
Bridge finance. They will cover costs until income is received, basically. So they're providing a loan and get some equity in the film in the process, but are not taking a creative role. So it's still his film to produce the way he wants to, where he doesn't need to involve a major film and doesn't have to give up the ability to have the final cut of his film.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what he said it all along that he wanted to do. And, I don't have a problem with it. I also don't have a problem with the Veronica Mars one that people are all up in arms about, where they've got just a stupid amount of people wanting to support that. They made, I can't even remember how much money they made. They made a lot of money in a very short time. The Veronica Mars movie project, they made $5.7 million in Kickstarter funds to make a Veronica Mars movie.
That seems like it's probably enough.
It's quite a lot of money.
Mm.
I don't even know if it's going to be all the funding. I suspect they will, they'll be the same thing. They'll take funding from that source and from other sources to make the film.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because it gives people an opportunity, it gives these people the opportunity to support something they want to see that might not otherwise get supported.
I mean, let's be honest about something here. You can make a film for any amount of money. You could literally make a movie for $1, right?
Yeah.
But you can't market a film for any amount of money, not to a mass market, not if you want to have, a successful release, right? So, that $6 million sounds like a lot, and I think it's plenty to make normal drama movies. It's not enough to make, a science fiction sort of movie or a fantasy sort of movie. But it's enough to make a sort of a normal drama movie, like a Veronica Mars kind of a movie or a comedy movie.
Well, it depends.
It's not enough to market it.
No. And you think, so 91,000 people, 91,585 people have supported the Veronica Mars movie. That's 100,000 people, basically, nearly, close enough. And almost all of them, less, say, 6,000. So 85,000 people have donated $10 or more to this film.
Yeah.
So they're going to be paying attention to what goes on with the film, and they're going to want to see the film, and they're going to tell their friends about the film.
But let's be honest, all of those people, if they even take one friend and they pay full price to go and see this film, that's still a very small opening weekend.
Sure, but the thing is, it doesn't need to be a big opening weekend because
it's funded.
It's not because it's not, it hasn't been backed by a major studio that won't spend less than $70 million on a movie.
Mm.
And that's the problem, is you've got this, there's this big gap between people who finance films on their credit cards and the odd indie production company, and the major studios who are ridiculously risk-averse because they spend so much money on their films, and for them it is only really a business model. There's not, there's no... Rob Thomas, who created Veronica Mars, has been running around with this idea for a movie or trying to make the movie for years. And he could never get a studio... Well, the studio would have to be Warner's, I think. They own the rights.
Mm.
He could never get them interested enough to actually make the film. They didn't think there was enough because, of course, when they talk about making a film, they're talking about spending $40 million. They're not going to do it for less than that. And so they could never be interested enough to make the film. But he can go ahead and raise and find 100,000 people and raise, $5.5 million to make a film, and suddenly they go, well, all right, do it on a small budget, and you've got enough people who are interested.
Yeah.
It's interesting because it creates a middle ground. I think there's some sort of future for some type of film in this, even if it's people pre-purchasing a DVD or something like that, that just kind of says, look, there is a guaranteed level of interest in A, this film, and B, this person to make this film.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing, is Rob Thomas, who created the show, loves the characters and loves the concept. He's not just some faceless executive and randomly employed hotshot director. So I think it's interesting. And I think people who shit upon the Veronica Mars and the Zach Braff movies are, I don't know. I don't understand why they're doing it.
Yeah.
Don't know why they have a problem with it.
Yeah. It's not a zero-sum game.
No. Exactly. Just because one film has done really well, one film has raised a lot of money and that person who's making the film has a lot of money already.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that it's not valid.
What would be really terrible would be if Kevin Smith kickstarted a movie, because no one needs to see another Kevin Smith movie.
God,
I've already seen it, Kevin.
I don't know. Did you see what was the most recent movie he made? Red State.
No, I haven't seen Red State. I understand it's very different from his previous.
I think Red State is very different. It's and I think if I remember from an interview, it was a movie he'd wanted to make for a long time, but never had the the resources.
I don't believe anything that he says.
Sure, possibly.
He says about his fucking lofty plans, I think is bullshit. He just does whatever comes along.
It's only got a 6.2 on IMDb, so I don't know.
6.2 is not very good. What is Veronica Mars on IMDb?
Well, the series.
Yeah.
It should be very high because it's pretty awesome.
8.1. There you go. That's very good indeed.
It's a bloody great TV series.
Your auntie been talking about?
It got a terrible rap in marketing because the UPN or whoever it was that ran the show decided to take a weird girly tact with the marketing.
I thought it was a funny girly show.
Well, it wasn't. I mean, it kind of is. There's a girl, but she's a detective. It's a noir detective drama. It's kind of like,
you know,
Beverly Hills 90210.
You know, a TV show,
a noir detective show.
Yeah.
Crime mystery thing.
Yeah.
It's good. It was good.
So a show that completely fucked me up was not what I expected at all. And I'll tell you the name of it, and you tell me what I thought I was getting. The Carrie Diaries.
Like a sequel to Sex in the City?
If that was what I expected, then I was in luck. That is not what I expected. What I expected was a Stephen King TV series, but all right, okay. No, that's not what I got. Man, was I disappointed. Oh, at least it wasn't Horseface in it, though. It was, you know, some younger actor.
Oh my God, fuck, it is. I was guessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Turns out, sure. Now you're not going to hear me say this very often, so I hope someone's recording this. It turns out you're smarter than me. Bloody hell. I was so disappointed. You have no idea.
I'm a fucking genius. Look at that. I've nailed it.
So I've just been asked a question by a person in the chat room.
What's your auntie been talking about?
Continuing the segment that I already started. Did you stick with Hannibal?
Did you?
Is the question. I certainly did. I'm a big fan of Hannibal. The girl is not a fan of Hannibal. She asked me the other night. I said, I'm still watching this, because I was actually watching it at the time, I think. And she was like, why are you still watching that? Hannibal doesn't even do anything. And then I told her some of the things that Hannibal had been doing the whole entire time. And she was like, well, she actually stopped listening after about the first 10 minutes of me going on and on and on and on. I know this is really hard to believe, but sometimes I do go on.
Yeah.
That has happened before. So Sichuan in the chat room who asked that question, I don't know why I was being so coy, because I found it creepy as fuck. And that's why Sichuan might not have continued watching it. There was an episode early in the run, no spoilers, but it turned out that there was a serial killer who was joining people as he believed they needed to be joined by turning them into mushrooms.
By
opening up their bodies and seeding them with mushrooms and then planting their bodies, their living bodies, underground with IV drips in their arms as they gradually were converted from human flesh into, you know, what's the stuff you give pot plants? The stuff that you put in a, I can't even remember my words. I've got to not have Baileys and milk.
Potting mix, compost?
Compost. Essentially compost. Living compost. And it was so horrible. It is the most horrible thing I've ever seen on TV.
45 minutes.
It was so disturbing.
You been watching The X Factor?
Just a minute. Ah, oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Fertilizer. There we go.
Just an unrelated question.
Yeah. It's not very good, is it?
I haven't watched it. I don't have a TV aerial.
Aerial? Dish? Aerial. Do you mean dish?
No, aerial.
Oh, I guess it's UHF, isn't it, Freeview?
Freeview is UHF. I don't have a TV aerial. I do have a dish, but I don't have a decoder.
You're dishy. You haven't got a TV with Freeview in it?
I have a TV with Freeview in it, but it's UHF Freeview, and I don't have a UHF aerial.
So let me get this straight. You're saying that you don't have a UHF aerial.
I'm saying that since I have lived in this house, I have not watched a single minute of broadcast television.
Do you mean antenna?
Yes, Morgan, I mean antenna.
That was actually a correction from the chat room.
I know.
Also, lol aerial.
Good. Are we done? I don't have one. I've watched no broadcast TV whatsoever. None.
It's terrible.
There are mm-hmm. things I like to watch, and I can watch them on catch up and stuff. But I just haven't. I've not really missed it.
TVNZ on demand is extremely good. So
I am using extensively Netflix and Hulu Plus.
Don't forget to rewind the tape. Next story.
Yahoo.
Discourse.co.nz/VPN.
Discourse.co.nz/VPN. It's surprisingly inexpensive. If you do the DNS trick, then that's probably cheaper. But that will only work for some kinds of thing.
Yeah, it doesn't work for some things, for sure.
It only works for some kinds of things. Yahoo buys Tumblr.
So, okay. Does Yahoo still own Flickr?
Yahoo owns Flickr.
So I'm just going to ignore the Tumblr thing for the moment because I don't care about Tumblr.
Yep.
Flickr announced recently, today.
Yahoo unveils the new Flickr with 1 terabyte of free space.
Okay, so there you go. I've got 1 terabyte to store my photos on Flickr now.
Yep.
So I went, that's cool, and I went and installed the Flickr app on my phone.
Yeah.
It doesn't have an option to just automatically upload stuff.
But like, Google Plus has an option to automatically upload stuff.
So does Dropbox. At the moment, I upload all my photos as I take them to Dropbox.
Me too. And it fills,
great,
it's filled it up.
Dropbox.
Yeah.
So I want the Flickering with the photo app thing.
I actually haven't looked at the new one. I understand they also released a new design.
They did. Well, I don't know. I've only used the mobile one. It's pretty. I saw some photos of yours on there, actually.
Really?
It said, hey, you know Morgan, look, here's some photos of his. And then there was this thing, it looked like some sort of fleshy walnut.
Fleshy walnut? Was it my bollocks? Is that what you're talking about? You're talking about my scrotum. Yeah. Why were you looking at my scrotum photos? I mean, I've got a big series. I've got a folder full of them.
Well, apparently that's the account that I'm friends with on Flickr.
As far as I know, there are zero photos of my scrotum,
/Morgan's scrotum
in existence. There are approximately zero, I believe.
More or less.
As far as I know. Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously using, you know, a degree of rounding.
Oh, God, I just visited the Flickr website, though, and they've left E's out of all their words.
Oh, please tell me that this is not...
Spectacular, whenever...
Is it infinite scrolling? I hate infinite scrolling so much.
Why do you hate infinite scrolling?
I don't have time for that.
It is a real pain in the ass sometimes. What really gets me is I wanted to scroll back through someone's Twitter timeline, and I was quite satisfied that I could have gone back, you know, and especially when it's got like in the URL, and you can just go, oh, well, I think I probably want to go like 10 more pages back, and so you just, you know, type 10 in the bit where it says 2 in the URL at the moment. And then you do that, but no, I couldn't. It wouldn't let me scroll back far enough. It's like, no, you've gone to the end of the infinite scroll because it's not infinite. It's actually very finite, and it's not that far.
I suggest that everyone goes to flickr.com and does a search for Morgan space Nickel, and tell me what you see. You'll be so happy. I promise there are no scrotums.
Mm.
Well, I mean, I haven't scrolled down an infinite amount, but I've scrolled down a certain amount, and there are no scrotums.
Morgan.
You will be met with the unexpected.
Am I searching everyone's uploads for Morgan Nickel?
I just used the box.
Okay. Hey, wow, look, it's that. You're talking about discourse. What I am, there's a woman in a bikini.
For me, it's about 95% women in bikinis.
Yeah, and sorry, I just looked at the first one. I was like, oh, that's Morgan, and that's Morgan as well, talking about discourse, and there's Ben talking about discourse, and then what? There's a whole lot of women in bikinis. What?
So on your one, is the top row 4 photos of women in bikinis?
No.
Oh. How wide is your screen?
Not very wide.
Is it
still got four photos of
it? Is it three photos? It is four photos.
It's two photos of Morgan, and then a woman in a bikini, and then a guy with a tractor.
All right. Can you see one where there are four girls in front of pictures of cars, and the two on the left have blue bikinis, and then the one on the middle has a pink, and then the one on the right has a blue?
Yes.
That one, second from the left, is she sucking her belly in really weirdly? Look at that shadow. What the hell is going on?
So, moving on.
And the one on the right, she should suck her belly in just a little bit more. I'm not meaning to objectify, but if you're going to be standing around in a Miss Universe competition, you shouldn't have a pot belly. I'm really sorry to say it, but it's basically one of the rules. I wouldn't be surprised if it actually was a stated rule on the competition. No pot bellies.
Why are these photos? Why are these photos all have your? Why?
I don't know. I imagine someone involved in the competition was called Morgan Nickel. I know that there's been a girl around on the internet who, I mean, when I first encountered her, she was very, very young, like about 12.
Well, no, because there's individual photos of all the different people here. Like, none of them are called Morgan Nickel.
Hilary
Arredondo, Jade Clay, Natasha Cook.
I can't explain
Chloe
it.
Beth Morgan. Ah, Chloe Beth Morgan.
Right, there you go.
And then there's probably someone who's something Nickel.
Yeah.
God, it's just too confusing. I've scrolled down further and I found horses and an old-timey photo of some policemen. So that's good. Oh, that's fire department. Sorry. Right. So I'm not searching for your name on there again.
I bet you are.
Nope.
So I've been told, I mean, this was a little while ago. This is when I was objectifying these nice young girls who are perfectly nice and pleasant people. I was told that I should stop.
I think you knew that.
I did know that, and you tried to stop me as well. It's just, it's such a weird photo.
I didn't really keep, I just stopped listening, actually. That's what I do.
You were right. Yahoo buys Tumblr. So Yahoo, a long time ago, bought Flickr and treated the owners really badly and did nothing to upgrade it, and everything else surpassed it. And frankly, I think that Tumblr might not even exist if Flickr had kept up with, you know, how it was going. Because Tumblr, essentially, is just mainly it's just photos. Instagram probably wouldn't exist if Flickr had been more on the ball. All right, and now what's her name? Katarina Fake? Was she the Flickr lady? The founder?
No idea.
She was treated like shit by Yahoo and eventually left. And the other founders, I think, were also treated like shit. And Yahoo historically has not been very good to the people that they got along with acquisitions. You know, other companies acquire, you know, web services, usually for the purposes of getting the people. And then they treat them really well in the hopes that they will continue making cool stuff for them. You know, this is the sort of thing that Google does. And I imagine many other companies too. Facebook probably as well. I don't know. But Yahoo, they just bought the website. I mean, did they just think they were buying a domain name or a database of users? I don't even know what they thought they were getting, but they had a very small vision. And so they did that to Flickr. And now, under Marissa Meyer, maybe things are changing a little bit. So they've announced the first major update to the site, and pretty much since they acquired it. Oh, the other thing that pissed me off was they changed it from being a Flickr account, which I can always remember what my username was. Well, I could back then. To being a Yahoo user ID.
Right, yeah.
Who remembers what that is? Because who under 60 uses Yahoo anymore? Yahoo's for grandmothers. And that is precisely why Yahoo has acquired Tumblr, because they want younger users.
It's just an excuse to get young people with...
But let me tell you a little secret about Flickr. And then I'm going to tell you a more widely known secret about Tumblr. Flickr is absolutely chock-a-block with pornography.
Yes,
it is filled to the brim with pornography. And actually...
Good pornography.
Pretty nicely made stuff. You know, it's not that horrible gonzo choking stuff, which most of us find reprehensive. It's, you know, sort of people who thought they wanted to be art photographers and then they started taking photos of naked ladies and then they started going a little bit further. And so it's, you know, if you aren't morally opposed to pornography in general, you might be like, hey, wow, that's really hot.
You can link your Yahoo account to your Google account now, though.
Now? Maybe now. I don't know. I don't know when that started.
I think. Well, it seemed to be an option when I logged into Flickr just before.
And here is another thing about... Here's a thing about Tumblr. Tumblr is mainly pornography, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, well, it was actually blocked at my work for quite a long time because of that.
Because it is so full of porn.
But it doesn't. It doesn't like it doesn't. It doesn't sort of sneak to the surface. You do have to sort of look for it. But once you start looking, it's
I will. I'm very happy to look.
Oh no, obviously. I wasn't doubting your tenaciousness in that respect.
Yeah.
Tenaciousity.
So now Yahoo owns both Flickr and Tumblr, which are very popular purveyors of pornography. There we go.
Great.
But Yahoo have announced, when I first heard about this, I made a joke about them being the world's biggest pornographic clearinghouse or whatever. I can't remember what my joke was now. But they have actually gone on record and they are saying, the direct questions about whether they would start to restrict content on Tumblr. And she said that they had no plans to. And she said it's the nature of user-generated content. And so they paid $1.1 billion for a hell of a lot of pornography.
But, you know, as long as they, like from their perspective, I think, as long as they make reasonable efforts to make sure that it stays accessible only to people who want to access it, on a site like Tumblr, the only, I guess, risk with having porn on there is that it might accidentally turn up in places you don't want it to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
You obviously don't want to have some kid's Tumblr with porn links popping up on it or something.
So maybe they can do something like what Google has with safe search.
Safe search.
Because
exactly.
If you turn off safe search and search for butthole, then you will get a lot of photos of buttholes.
Probably one specific photo repeated a lot. I don't know.
I'm actually not prepared to do that search.
Goatsy?
I really doubt that would come up very often. Okay, I'm going to do the search. Fine.
Do it, Morgan. Just tell me what you find. I'm not going to do it. I'm choosing not to.
No, Goatsy. It's not what I expected, though. It's what I said, but it's not.
It's just a lot of butthole surface pictures.
It's pretty bad. Oh, that's Tub Girl. Okay, that's definitely don't do this. Don't do this. I just did this so you don't have to.
And now we know. Thank you.
Oh, and there's a picture of Michael Jackson. So it's all come full circle, really, hasn't it? Lots of stuff about butthole surfers.
I told you that'd be there.
Yeah. Yep. Congratulations, Yahoo. All of the users of Tumblr are going to leave, but, awesome. Well, good for you giving David Karp $1.1 billion.
Where are they going to go?
I thought he was a bit of a tool. I thought he was a cock, and that was years ago. And so his level of...
Who is he?
David Karp, founder of Tumblr. I met him when he was in Auckland at Web09. And I thought he was a cock.
Was he a cock, or did you just think he was a cock?
I thought he was. I mean, obviously, that's a subjective thing, isn't it?
I think there are probably people you have thought to be cocks that now, if you think back, you will realize that they were not, in fact, cocks, and perhaps the cockness involved was yours.
It's possible.
I think if you think about it, you will find sometimes the cockness was your own.
Sometimes that may be true, but with David Karp, I think that he was the cock. And now he's a very wealthy cock, so good for him.
May be possible that I've just said cockness, which wasn't a word.
It's a word now.
I've said it like 3 or 4 times.
It's a word now.
Cool.
Urban Dictionary, word of the week.
Your word, Dylan, is cockness.
The
Cockness monster.
Nice. Cockness is the...
Did he say nice? Like, what's his name?
Cockness is the measure of one's cockness. How much of a cock one is.
1 minute.
Wow, Urban Dictionary is not working for me at all. Please do my simple search for the word cockness.
No.
Error 503, back-end read error.
Error 503, back-end rooted.
Guru meditation. Too. Their varnish is not working right.
No. Oh, bum.
Let's see.
Next story.
End of the show.
Man farts on girlfriend's head during argument, sparking drunken knife fight. A drunk Florida woman stabbed... This is in Florida, obviously.
Do you remember on FARC there's a whole tag for
five.
Florida?
Yes.
This is why.
Four.
Stabbed a boyfriend with an 8-inch blade after he farted in her face during an argument.
Remember that, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll see you after the thing, because, well, I mean, I'm not finished.
Wow, well, are
you're
you?
Listening to the weekly show.
Are we ever really finished? Sorry.
Oh, of course.
Sometimes we take a break for about a week.
We're using that one. Yeah.
All right, we're using that one. So, cockness.
Cockness.
I'm assuming that I spelled this right. This is how you intended it. C-O-C-K-N-E-S-S.
Yeah.
There is no word that is just cockness, but there is moldy cockness, and there is, strangely enough,
cockness monster.
Cockness monster.
Yeah, no.
That is when a man gets an erection while in the bathtub.
Oh, that's awesome. Someone described to me once this thing you can do. It's called the elephant, right? Where you're wearing jeans or pants that have pockets that can pull out, and you have a fly.
Yeah.
So you pull the pockets out, that's the ears, and you poke your penis through the fly, and that's the trunk, and that's your elephant. And then you run around going,
yeah,
whatever elephant noise you can make.
Those are small ears and a big trunk.
Yep, sure, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I imagine. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm imagining a very strangely proportioned person doing this with
small
pockets.
Did we ever talk about... have you ever had a pair of jeans that has really shallow pockets?
Yes, and I hate it so much.
But that wasn't what I was going to talk about. Did we talk about the Commander Hadfield's Space Oddity video? In fact, that may not have been out when we last did this show. I think it was released only on...
Oh, yes, when the Canadian, the mustachioed Canadian...
The mustachioed Canadian astronaut.
Space-tronaut did David Bowie in space.
Brilliant.
We did not speak about it. It was extremely good.
Fantastic video just on its own. Possibly, I presume, the first music video shot in zero gravity completely. I presume.
He's been quite an impressive man. I imagine that he's been impressive for a long time. I don't think you get to be in space as a space man without being quite an impressive person.
If you think about... It's amazing, isn't it? They do this thing on the International Space Station. They do like Skypes with classrooms and stuff.
Yeah,
just talk to kids. So cool.
So one of the things that I saw post, it's going to be very strange seeing him on Earth because all of the video I've seen of him makes him look really angry because the veins in his head are all bulgy.
Right, and he's also floating, usually floating.
Yeah, I can get past that part easier than the veins.
Not like they'd be floating on Earth so often.
So his best video that I had seen before this one was where he took a face cloth saturated with water and wrung it out so that you could see what would happen if you did that in zero gravity or nearly zero gravity. And it's sort of not what you expect to happen, but once you see it, it's like, oh, obviously.
It just kind of ends up surrounded by a blob of water?
Yeah, all over his hands. Surface tension holds it on the cloth. It just all squeezes out of the fabric but stays surrounding it. And when I first, I saw like the title of the YouTube and I was like, oh, I guess it just dribbles out in all directions. But, I mean, it not only falls away from a cloth on Earth because gravity pulls it off the cloth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totes, awesome.
The Pirate Cinema.
Do you know what we haven't talked about?
What?
Lots of things.
There are lots of New Zealand political things
that we haven't talked about. What we haven't talked about, though, is the Oklahoma tornado. Have you seen any of the videos of it?
I have seen none of the videos of it. I've heard it was gigantically large.
Fucking horrific.
Killed a lot of small children.
Terrifying. It took out a school, basically.
Yeah.
Horrible. I mean, that's, the power of nature. But, wow. I think the death toll's around about 90.
Yeah,
as we talk, there'll be probably more, and including 20 kids. Horrible.
Which of these videos should I watch?
None of them right now, but there are obviously a metric shit ton of ways that you can donate money to various recovery efforts, and of course remember that individual victims will obviously need money for their medical care expenses because it's America.
I was going to say, why the fuck would I donate any money to Americans who were in a storm?
No, they'll get shit tons of money from Americans as well. But, if you wanted to help the Red Cross.
But your point about their healthcare is very well made because they are probably going to be pretty much on their own, aren't they?
Well, they'll have...
A broken country. Just, I mean, think about that when you look at what our government does. Not this one in particular, but all New Zealand governments. You know, think about how bad things are in some countries and how good things have historically been here. But let's just make sure that they don't get worse because of decisions that we make.
That we have now, even the specific government that we have now, even given all of the things that they, you know, don't support... They're still not even really remotely toying with the idea of dramatically changing our healthcare. And they wouldn't, and no government in New Zealand would. We would never even consider going to a completely user pays model of healthcare or private for profit insurance.
The thing is that there is no possible argument that it makes economic sense because if we look at the American model, it's really, really expensive.
So there was the thing in Boston, right? The guy Jeff Bowman lost his legs in the explosion, and there was a news story came out very shortly afterwards that said he had no insurance and needed money for his medical expenses. Now it turned out not to be the case. He actually did have insurance, and he had insurance with his employer, who I forget who they were. I think it was Costco,
right?
Big supermarket chain who is actually very supportive of their employees and has a
they're definitely not policy. Walmart.
They are not Walmart, and so it turns out he didn't need the money. But other victims of the Boston bombing did, and obviously many victims of the Oklahoma tornado will, and so will many other innocent victims of all sorts of random things in the States need massive amounts of money for their healthcare. It's insane.
Yeah.
You can have appendicitis and then just go bankrupt because it's just ridiculous. I don't understand how the population accepts it, and yet not only do they accept it, they fight against reform.
Yeah,
because they're crazy people.
Yeah, they think socialism is some terrible thing.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I can't get it.
And they think that sometimes they think that kind of just decency and spreading the load is socialism, you know, something like healthcare where everyone needs it eventually.
Well, it is socialism, but then so is education, and so is the police, and so are roads. They're all socialism. There's not like a socialism isn't even necessarily mutually exclusive with capitalism. In fact, it absolutely isn't.
Yeah,
you can have. A socialist capitalist society, and
we have that's what we've got here.
That's what everyone has to some extent. It varies, but there's no purely capitalist society. There's nowhere where everything is private enterprise.
Oh, I bet there is, and I bet it's really terrible living
Monaco,
there.
I don't know, something
somewhere like that, where you have to, you really have to be super wealthy to have any kind of life, or not actually live there. You just get bussed in to do your job, and then you don't actually live there.
Did you see Matt McCartan's? We're rambling way off topic now. Did you see Matt McCartan's column in the Matt McCartan's column? Yeah, Matt McCartan's column in the Herald about 10 things he would do differently for tax. After the budget came out, he's like, I could do better than this, and it was. I will find it and read it to you. Hang on a second. My budget would do the trick is the name of the column. It's an opinion piece in the Herald. Blah 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 goes on. Blah blah blah. Matt McCartan, obviously left wing. Anyway, he says, if we really wanted a left-wing budget, what would get everyone's attention? What about these 10 game-changers? So, he's obviously pushing it out of it, but here is his 10 game-changing tax budget concepts. Abolish GST, replace it with a 1% financial transaction tax as recommended by the New Zealand Bankers Association. Same money, apparently.
Well, the thing about GST is that it's called a regressive tax. Because, as you were about to say, it disproportionately affects the poorest members of our society.
Because we are the ones, well, I say we, I'm not the poorest members of our society, because people who have least money spend most of their money.
On things like food and not and on things like saving. Things. Yeah.
So there's that. So that was one. Abolish tax and replace it with a 1% financial transaction tax. I suppose that means 1% tax on just all financial transactions. The argument being there that rich people spend more time pushing their money around, I guess. Two, abolish PAYE on wages and salaries. Replace it with a wealth tax and capital gains tax. When shares, businesses, land and property are sold, people are taxed when they're cashing up, not when they're making it, which I think is a stupid idea because rich people don't cash up.
You're about to get to one that absolutely terrifies me because please
debt
no.
Tax. This is number three. 90%
I'm strongly against that one.
Grown-up kids should earn their own money. Four, rent to buy homes underwritten by the state. I actually kind of like that idea. Limiting homes to two a family and having capital gains tax will keep prices affordable. Don't understand that part of it. Does that mean one family can only own two homes full stop, or they can only use the rent to buy program twice?
That doesn't make
capital
sense.
Capital gains
to me.
Tax, I support the idea of.
It seems five, to me that you should only be able to use the rent to buy thing once.
I would think so too. Five, state created work schemes for all long term jobless.
That seems obvious.
Yes and no, but you do run the risk of creating things for the sake of creating things. It's, you know, delicate balance.
That's not necessarily bad. We'd have really high quality paths in all our national parks.
Sure. Six, and a living really good wage set at $20 an hour minimum.
No.
Be a stimulus package. I think it's a massive jump that would be devastating to small business, and everything would just end up costing more.
Well, yes and no. I think that there should be incentives for all companies to provide a living wage, and I don't think it should be any specific number. I mean, on a particular day, you'd be able to work out what the number is, but saying today that it should be $20 an hour, that is a mistake. I don't know if it should be $20 an hour. That seems like a very round
number. I think 1850 was the number they came up
with. That seems like a very round number, and I'm very suspicious that the number is that round.
Yes. Seven, no tax on profits kept in the business. I don't even understand what that means, because if they're kept in the business, they're not profits. Or no, they are. I don't know. But anyway, that seems stupid because so much of the financial stuff happens in business.
That actually doesn't make sense to me either, because if you keep it in the business, what I assume that means is you're spending it on plant.
But
you don't pay tax on that. You only pay tax on money that you're not using.
Anyway. Eight, free public transport in major cities. This would get people out of their cars. It would, but it's a ridiculous idea. We can barely afford the public transport we have now, and if it did get people out of their cars, it would cost a shitload more.
Virtually every public transport system, if not in fact every public transport system in the world, is heavily subsidised. They don't need to be free for most of them. Like something like an inner city circular bus, which is probably mainly for tourists, you know, it's all right for that to be free because, you know, it's probably, you know, just three buses or something. You know, it's a small part of the rolling stock. But for all public transport to be free, people might just not respect it. There should always be a cost.
It just needs to be more effective. I think our public transport system, in Auckland at least, is not widely used, not because it costs.
That's not true. That's not true. It's heavily used.
It's not more heavily used. There we go.
Yeah.
Is not better utilised. It's not because of the cost, but because of its effectiveness for a large number of people. It's just not.
There are big changes coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's stupid. Nine, victims get 100% state compensation for loss or injuries. Offenders work it off if necessary. Don't really understand quite.
I think, does this mean...
I'm not sure.
This isn't ACC. This is like if someone's stuff is stolen, they get 100% of that back. I think that offenders, they should not have a penalty of a percentage. They should have a penalty of all of it. I don't know that it's the government's job to pay for stuff.
Well, the problem with making offenders, or giving an offender a penalty, is that they are almost certainly unable to pay it anyway, and you just end up taking a small amount of their money away, which is meaningless to the people.
No, that's appropriate. It's appropriate. I think offenders they get off way too light with some of these crimes where, you know, they do something like steal a TV or a car and it is destroyed and they are caught and they get a fine of like $600 and the person who was wronged gets maybe zero of it ever and they don't get their stuff back. And I think that sometimes the penalty should be you pay forever if necessary, whatever can be afforded, and that's it. I don't see why that's not appropriate. If you steal someone's car, you owe them a fucking car.
Hmm.
What's wrong about that?
Now we've got the other one is 10. Make KiwiSaver a state-owned fund and buy all the government's non-core commercial assets. Go back to the other thing. I think that's probably what that's proposing, is because obviously if some dude who has no money steals my car and owes me a car, he's never going to give me a car because he can't. So if the government gives me a car and then he owes the government the money for the car, That's probably what's being proposed there. Although that's kind of the role that insurance companies sort of play.
I think that,
although insurance companies never get the money from the offenders, I don't assume.
Well, I think that they should be able to, and that person should be garnished, and maybe there could be a minimum amount. I don't actually, honestly, it's not my problem if that causes hardship to a criminal.
No, it's not
as
that. It's
as
not.
Long as they're prevented from committing crime, and if they commit crime, they are fucking penalised for it. They've got to pay their way, and if they are a net negative in society, then the way that we make it clear to them their behaviour is not okay is that they fix it, they make right.
Yes, I just don't think it's... I agree with it in principle. I don't think it's practical. I'm not sure the value of implementing an entirely impractical policy. But that's irrelevant. Number 10, make KiwiSaver a state-owned fund and buy all the government's non-core commercial assets.
I really like the sound of that.
It's interesting.
But it's a weird kind of shifting around magic money. It's just kind of a paper point, shift, isn't it?
Well, kind of the point of KiwiSaver being not state-owned is that it is separate and managed in the private sector so that it... I mean, historically, governments have not a particularly good track record of not spending superannuation money that they shouldn't. So the idea of having privately managed KiwiSaver is supposed to protect us from that situation, I guess. I quite like the idea of assets... But, I mean, they already do. Assets generate money for... us as a people.
Yeah.
It's just it's not our retirement funds, it's our money for building roads and paying police and shit like that.
Yeah.
I don't support the asset sales because I think it's going for a short-term profit at the and losing long-term gain.
Yeah.
And also relinquishing control of things that maybe would be better in our control in some respects. Not all of them necessarily, but certainly I think the power companies.
So Eddie C, who was arrested at the age of 17, who did some few hundred dollars of damage to, he doesn't say what, had to pay 100% reparations.
Yeah, I mean, when someone broke into our car, I think we were asked if we wanted reparations, and we were told,
No, I'd rather have a family group conference.
Well, this was at the family group conference. And we had some, it was like some hundreds of dollars and they'd be able to pay us. And it was just like, fuck it, it's no point. He already can't deal with his shit as it is. This isn't going to make anything better.
Are you fucking Santa?
No, I just can't remember. It was a ridiculous. The whole fucking thing was just tragic. It was really, I found the family group conference thing to be the most just disheartening. Well, no, because the being on a jury was the worst, actually. But it was a really disheartening thing because it was this kid who was like, I think it was 15 or 16, whose mum was clearly really trying, and she was, she was working a couple of jobs and she was trying to look after her family, and the father had fucked off long ago. And the kid was, as is.
He wouldn't pay us back.
Closer to the
microphone. Oh, that's right.
Microphone.
His mother would have to pay us.
Microphone, get her on the mic if she's going to talk.
Three or four other kids as well.
She's not coming closer to the mic. But yeah, that's right. His mum would have been the one who had to pay us, and that was why we didn't want the money.
That's not your problem.
But it was stink because it was he was off the.
She raised him wrong. She should pay.
Maybe. Well, she didn't seem like there was, and the other kids, like his other brothers and stuff, were there, and they were all right. He just wasn't. And it sucked because there was nothing. And you talk to him and you're like, well, what do you want to do with your life? No. It was sad. The whole thing was just sad.
Public flogging.
Apparently my wife's listening to the podcast again, by the way, because it should be one of the options she's ever heard.
The one that I find the most terrifying is the death tax, or what it's usually called, a death duty.
Also known as estate tax.
Yeah, estate
tax. It's so stupid, though, because people who have lots of money don't pay it because they just don't have personal assets.
Yeah.
It's
whisper. That's not disruptive.
I have to end the podcast soon. There's a cricket in the bedroom. I need to rescue my wife.
From a cricket?
Oh, yeah. The crickets around here have claws and they carry knives.
Fucking hell. Let's see. Instant cricket. It's a long time since I've used one of these buttons. Instant cricket. Man, my internet's so slow tonight. I want to inherit my mother's house.
Well, I think it's fair as well. That's a dumb tax. Anyway. I am going to wrap it up because it's late. Oh, yeah, you finally got the cricket. God, that took you forever.
I know. For some reason, everything that I'm trying to do on the internet is very slow.
Oh. Anyway.
Oh, God, please tell me I haven't got a VPN up. No, I haven't. No. All right. Where's my button?
Fish and chips.
Sorry, the show is cancelled. Beep.